Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Guten Tag, this is Beer Cult. Okay, sorry, I can't do it. Hey, this is Beer Coasters podcast episode number three. I'll be your host today. My name is Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this is Chris from Dallas, Texas.
And this is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
You guys sound way too excited. Today we're talking about Hefeweizen.
Das Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's better. Much better. Yeah, today on the fermentation conversation, we will be focusing on Widmer Brothers Hefeweizen. We're going to go through some hop topics today on the tasting flight. I will be doing... On the tasting flight, I will be covering Marin Brewing Company's Hefeweizen.
I will be doing the Flying Dog In Heat Wheat Hefeweizen.
And I will be doing Harpoon Brewery's UFO Hefeweizen.
And then we'll go through some, you know, we'll do our tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week, some backwash.
And we'll roll into last call.
Sweet.
So, yeah, to open up the show, I'm pretty excited to talk about some Hefeweizen today, some American wheat ales. And how you guys been? How was your Memorial Day weekend?
Excellent. Went to the zoo.
A little barbecue, little beer, average Memorial Day kind of stuff.
What did you do, Toby?
I thought you'd never ask.
We knew this was all building up to this one moment right here.
Better be good, dude.
I've been trying to stay away from talking about San Diego because it seems like that's all we ever talk about. But I did go to San Diego for a couple days.
Hey, Toby, I got a question for you. Isn't San Diego kind of the Napa Valley of beer?
I heard that somewhere. I'm not sure where I heard it, but that's what people say.
I want to give a shout out to San Diego.
So me and the wife went down for a quick 2-day trip, and while I was there, I hit up the beach and also had to swing by Pizza Port in Solana Beach. So a big up to my friends at Pizza Port. Actually, I don't have any friends there, but you know, I just like to say that. Yeah, I got a nice pizza, and I tried their Swami IPA, which was not bad. It was definitely an IPA. But it went well with the nice summer
one. I'm glad you agree with them on them putting a style on it, and you agreeing with it. It's good.
It's a good thing they got them labels right.
Yeah. So you guys have anything else to say before we roll into our fermentation conversation?
Did
you want to talk about the style just for a second?
Yeah. The Hefeweizen. Hefe meaning yeast and Weizen meaning wheat. Originated in Germany. I want to say as far back as the 1500s, you know, right around the time of the Reinheitsgebot, which is the German purity law.
Reinheits.
Saying that there's only certain ingredients you can use in beer, which was hops, water, yeast, and barley. But you couldn't use wheat. It was not considered part of the German purity law. But that wasn't until a royal family, the Degenberger family, they passed this special decree saying that they can brew it. And it wasn't until actually the 1700s where the control was broken.
Yeah.
Right. 1700s, the control was broken by a man named George Schneider. But it wasn't until actually the 20th century when wheat beer started being generally allowed in Germany. And then, of course, it came over to the States in roughly the 1980s.
Let's drink some.
Usually a Hefeweizen has 50% malted wheat. It's usually Bavarian style malted wheat, malted barleys. They'll put in some noble hops and some yeast. And the yeast is a specialized ale yeast. It's only in wheat beers. And then if you get the American versions, usually they use a regular style ale yeast. And then they'll add some fruit and other flavors to it. So, yeah, that's a brief rundown of a Hefeweizen. Yeah, it's good.
Let's open some, shall we?
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Okay, today in the fermentation conversation, we are doing Widmer Brothers Hefeweizen. Widmer Brothers are out of Portland, Oregon, and they've been around since 1984. Now, this Hefeweizen is actually, I would say it's their flagship beer.
Absolutely.
I'd agree with that.
Pretty much you can find this one anywhere in the country, I would say. And even grocery stores, you can pick this one up. It's available year-round. It's got...
I can't go to the grocery store here.
It's got 30 IB... Okay. Well, yeah, there's certain things about grocery stores. But anyway. 30 IBUs, which is the International Bittering Unit, and I think that that's kind of high for a Hefeweizen. It's got 4.9 alcohol. It uses pale Munich malts, wheat and caramel malts. The hops it uses are the Alchemy hops for bittering and the Willamette and Cascade for aroma. And you can find them at www.widmer.com. That's W-I-D-M-E-R.com. So let's crack them open, fellas. Or Mike, did you have something you wanted to
throw in there? Yeah, we can crack them open while we're talking about it here. I just wanted to mention that Widmer Brothers was part of the Craft Brewers Alliance. They're along with Red Hook Ale Brewery, Kona Brewing Company, Goose Island Beer Company. Basically, I think one big company now. You could check them out at craftbrewers.com, and that'll bring you up to Craft Brewers Alliance Incorporated, and you can see all the different beers that they have to offer. That's all.
Cool.
Well, I think I'll kind of start us off by, you know, cracked it open and did the pour. Something interesting about the pour on a Hefeweizen, you're doing a little bit more of an aggressive pour than your standard 45 degree pour. Right off the bat, I got a good 3 fingers of head into my Hefeweizen glass. Very cloudy in color, which is, you know, standard for the style. It's unfiltered, so you're definitely going to get that cloudy look to it.
Yeah.
It's a gold color, a little more on the yellow side. The head's a very meringue-like root beer float type head on it.
Yeah, real foamy, real big head.
Kind of like Mike.
Hey.
Big head.
What do you agree, Mike? Would you agree on the...
I have my nose in the
glass. Oh, you've just been smelling.
Right away, I get like a little bit of citrus. And definitely a lot of malt. Like malt and that you can smell the yeast as well. I was kind of hoping for a little more citrus, but it's there.
Yeah, it's not too... It's there a little bit.
Yeah, it's something typical to this style. Normally you would get kind of banana and cloves. I'm getting cloves, but I'm not getting much banana at all.
Maybe a little lemon.
Yeah.
A hint of lemon. And I get a little bit of bread as well.
Yeah, it definitely has a bready yeasty.
The thing I like about when I look at a Hefeweizen, the appearance that I like is I like to see... which it did with this one, is so you can see the yeast kind of floating through there like a cloud, you know, it's and then it slowly gets mixed in by the bubbles and stuff like that. I don't know. I like that. I think it's pretty cool looking. I like me some sediment.
Sediment.
But yeah. I'm already tasting. I don't know about you, Chris, but.
So yeah, on the taste end, I'm getting just like the scent. I'm not getting much of the banana that I kind of expect from a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I'm not getting pretty much any banana or any of that clove you were talking about either.
This is a very subtle Hefeweizen.
Kind of a little bit of a cardboardy taste. I'm not sure if this is definitely the freshest six pack that I picked up, unfortunately. So. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not tasting everything I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, my lacing, as far as the head sticking to the side of the glass, I've got pretty much none. You know, and the head is barely hanging on.
I will say I like the carbonation.
Yeah.
Maybe there could be a little bit more, but it's got a...
Yeah. Hefeweizen should be a fairly carbonated.
Without being, like, you know, too thin.
I think it's got a pretty good aftertaste.
Yeah.
It's kind of creamy. A little astringent finish to it. But a little sweet and slightly bitter aftertaste. Yeah, those bananas and cloves aren't as present as I was hoping.
Yeah, I'm definitely missing that.
I want more citrus.
Still smells good.
Or,
oh, if you want more citrus, why don't you throw an orange slice in there or a lemon slice?
Start
or something.
That conversation. Is that what we're gonna do right here, right now?
So we got time.
So obviously, all with right. Most most beers and most, you know, hardcore beer drinkers would agree that you don't put a slice of lemon or an orange slice or any sort of additives to your beer.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I agree with that. When you're, you know, looking to get the taste of the beer and you're sitting down, you're analyzing it, and you really want to feel what the brewer's intentions were, I agree with that. On the flip side of that, when you have something like a Hefeweizen that is a fairly mellow flavor, especially one like this that I'm not getting much of anything out of, I see nothing wrong if you have a six-pack of it, it's a hot day, you're outside hanging out on your porch, if you want to throw a slice of lemon in it. And I know, you know, a lot of people out there are going to be very upset with the fact that I even dared to say something like that. But honestly, you know, if I'm just drinking it just for a relaxing afternoon, I want something that tastes good, and I see nothing wrong with throwing a little lemon in it.
It is pretty refreshing, you know, it can be, and it's, a lot of times it's up to the drinker's discretion, you know, if you feel like this can use a little more citrus, some more orange or lemon that you really like, and maybe it'll bring it out even more, you know, but I'm not a big fan of it. I usually avoid the fruit in my beer, other than Corona.
Fruit in my beers either. yeah, I mean, the only thing I wanted to say about it is, Chris, what you were agreeing with in the first place was, you know, if a brewer makes a well-balanced beer, you know, especially with the Hefeweizens, you add citrus to it. You're killing the head. You're masking the flavors that the brewer kind of worked really hard to try to achieve. But, you know, if the beer doesn't have, if it's not there, it's not well-balanced, and it's not a good craft beer, then I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, you can stick a lime in a Corona and, you know, everything's just fine on a hot summer day, you know.
And it's still better than going and getting a Bud Light lime.
Yes. I will agree that real fruit is better than flavored artificially
flavored fruit.
All right.
Now that I'm getting down to the bottom more, I mean, it's still kind of refreshing, but it seems to start getting a little flat on me, you know.
Yeah, and that's going to come from that more aggressive pour.
Yeah, once the head's gone, it's starting to thin out more and more. It is almost getting flat.
If you guys have nothing left to say, I just wanted to throw out one more tidbit from this actual beer. The Widmer Brothers Hefeweizen is the is the original American Hefeweizen. I mean, they kind of pioneered the Hefeweizens in America. I want to say they were the world's first American style Hefeweizen. Mm. So they've been around for a while. You go to the store and you're looking for Hefeweizens. I mean, Widmer is usually one you can find.
Yeah, you can pretty much find it anywhere. I would say like a grilled fish with some lemon or orange, maybe like a Wahoo or an Ono, which is basically the same thing, or something like that. I think a really kind of light,
a mild flaky, fish.
Mild fish on the sweeter side with some citrus would be good.
Maybe a salad with some, you know, apple and cheese thrown in on a hot summer's day.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree. Some grilled fish would go really nicely with this.
Yeah, definitely. Fish. All right, shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
All right, welcome to the Hop Topics section. And this just in from the Beer Examiner. We have a story that we just found out today, being Wednesday, May 27th.
So maybe not just in for you, but for us.
Just in for us.
The podcast, it was just in.
There have been some severe thunderstorms and hail that have swept across parts of Europe this past Monday evening and into Tuesday morning. The Brewers Association received early reports that the Hallertau hop growing area hop yards have been severely damaged.
One member from the Netherlands reports.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Not our hops. Anything but our hops.
Weinstefaner, where the German brewing school resides, people who live throughout the area have reported a complete destruction of hop fields in the region, and other reports indicate that the damage was local in some areas and affected only about 25% of the region.
That's going to hit Sam Adams really hard, because they're a big user of the Hallertau hops in their lager.
Yeah, and it's also sad news for lovers of the classic German traditional beer styles. You know, international brands of Pilsner Lager are not so reliant on these types of traditional hops. Many small brewers throughout the world who brew specialty beers that once defined German traditional beers with the unique character of Hallertau-grown hops may be challenged in the coming 2 years. So this could take, a couple of years to get some of these hops back. Usually 2 years in Europe for plantings to bear full harvest.
Now, there are other regions that grow the same Hallertau hops. Like, I think Idaho here in the States grows them. So there are, other areas that are going to be growing them. There's just a different... It does produce some different characters as far as what the flavors are produced depending on where it's grown.
So a sad day in the hop world.
Moment of silence for the Hallertau hop, please.
Moving on to some slightly better news, my hop topic for the week is coming from Great Divide Brewing. I pulled the article from beernews.org. They are releasing three new beers this week. The three beers that they're rolling out, they are rolling out a oak-aged chocolate Yeti, which is one of their stouts. A Great Divide Double Wit, and a 15th anniversary wood aged double IPA India Pale Ale. India Pale Ale is a 10% ABV.
Any beer that they age in wood is just fantastic.
Yeah. So Great Divide Brewing out of Denver, looks like they've got some interesting stuff coming out here.
Colorado has so many good breweries.
Yes, they do. And working with that region has been very good to me so far. So I was looking through this beernews.org, and I came across this article, and I want to say one thing about their graphic design style. I really like these labels a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like two color, very simple, straightforward.
It has a very really kind of old school screen printing kind of feel to them, like old screen printing posters and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
cool.
So looking forward to those beers coming out from Great Divide. I actually have never tried Great Divide Brewing, so I think I might pick up. I know they make a regular Yeti as opposed to this chocolate oak aged
Eddie the Yeti.
Eddie the Yeti.
As opposed to the young Sasquatch.
So, that's my beer news for the week. Three new beers from Great Divide.
Right. My beer news this week is from Philly.com. This one is from Joe Sixpack from the Philadelphia Daily News. The title of this one is Tough Test Measures Your Beer Knowledge. So you think you know a lot about beer? Here's a quiz.
Not really.
What's the name of the device attached to a keg to allow for input of gas and output of beer? And it goes on to say, it names a few, like what trait in beer do measurements in degrees of SRM represent, and what Munich style of beer is known for the flavor of 4-vinyl guaiacol, I think it's pronounced, I'm not really sure. But it goes on to say, stumped? Well, those are just three of 140 questions that's put together by the final exam for the Craft Beer Institute's Cicerone certification program.
You know what's funny about that last question? None of us know the answer to that. What Munich style of beer is known for the flavor of the 4-vinyl guaiacol?
Yeah.
That's a Hefeweizen.
Nice. Perfect. See that?
Ah, it's good. Good enough.
You don't even know what we're drinking. But it says so far just 23 people have passed the test and twice as many have failed. And then it goes on to say that the actual reporter had to Google the definition of Cicerone. So they go on to kind of explain what it is. Basically, it's kind of a beer sommelier. It's kind of the easiest way to describe it. They give you the answers to the questions. Like, question A was a coupler. Question B... right. Was the standard reference method used to scale the classify the color of beer, and then like Chris said, it's a that 4-vinyl guaiacol. If I'm pronouncing that right, again, I'm sure I'm not, but if I'm not, you can give us some backwash and let us know. That says that compound actually smells like cloves. And it is, it's aroma, signature aromas from a German Weiss beer. So if you think your beer knowledge is up to par, take the 10-question sample exam at www.cicerone.org. And
we all need to take that by next podcast. Yeah,
we'll all be certified. Okay. We're going to spend our $50 and be certified by next week.
Actually, I really want to do this.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the beer judge thing rather than the Cicerone thing, but it's my personal preference.
The website's www.cicerone.org.
Yes, thank you for spelling that. And it also says if you're not prepared for hours of study and long exams just to learn how to pair beer with food, here's a shortcut. And if you go to greatbrewers.com, it's actually a pretty good website that shows you how to pair different beers with food and vice versa. And that is my beer news for the week. Hop topic. Sorry.
For the hop topic out west, I got this from OregonLive.com. I just want to talk about two new releases from Full Sail Brewing Company out of Hood River, Oregon. They have a new Berliner Weiss, which kind of fits in with our subject today. It's a white beer. It's a Berliner Weiss beer, which is rare in the States. It's actually only found really in its hometown of Berlin. This one by Full Sail is called Chris's Summer D Light. It's a summer wheat beer. It's easy drinking, unfiltered. It's made with 50% wheat malt, a tiny amount of Hersbrucker hops, and lactic acid for tartness. The Berliner Weiss beer, it's rare outside of its homeland. It's low in alcohol. It's a great summer refresher. It's slightly sour with a tart finish. Yeasty sediment gave them the name white beer. In Germany, served with a dash of raspberry syrup or essence of woodruff is common. Some popular brands are Kindle, K-I-N-D-L, and Schulteis. Those are some popular Berliner Weiss beers from Germany.
Schulteis!
They're actually both under the same ownership, and they brew out of the same brewery. And also another release from Full Sail is their new LTD 03. I've had the 01 and the 02. I thought that they were pretty good. I think the 01 was better than the 02.
These are...
I can't even...
They're just a special lager recipes, release. Right? Like three different lager recipes.
Yeah. Right. This one just came out. It's an elegant Pilsner lager, and it shipped out this month. And it's available in Oregon, Nevada, and I believe California and Washington, possibly. Anyway, you can find out more at fullsailbrewing.com. And that's my beer news.
Up topic.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Alrighty. Time for me to drink some beer. This week, my beer is from Flying Dog Brewery. It's called the In Heat Wheat Hefeweizen. Little background on the beer. The brewery is located in Denver, Colorado. Kind of strange. The brewery is headquartered in Frederick, Maryland, but this beer was actually brewed in Denver, Colorado, so it kind of falls in my region since that's where it was actually made.
Mm.
But it will fall in my region like from cheating. Time to time.
The website for the beer, www.flyingdogales.com. Style of the beer, as everybody knows, is the Hefeweizen this week. We have an ABV of 4.7%. The IBUs are 12, which falls right in line with a Hefeweizen. A Hefeweizen should be between 10 and 15 IBUs, which are the international bitterness units.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredients used in this one is a malted white wheat and Munich malts.
Did you say white wheat?
White
wheat. White correct. Wheat. Got it.
And it uses German pearl hops. A couple of interesting tidbits. This particular beer won a silver medal at the 2003 Great American Beer Festival for the Hefeweizen category, and it won the bronze medal in the same category in 2006. Rate Beer gives this a 39 out of 100, which is pretty low.
Rate Beer's kind of hard on beer stuff. But I've noticed that
Hefeweizens don't rate well anyway on Rate Beer.
Yeah, they're pretty hard on beers in general.
Yeah. Beer Advocate, the users gave it a B-, and the Alstrom Brothers gave it a B.
Hmm.
So, with no further...
ND?
Waiting. Yeah, I did that last week, though.
But it was good. It was good. It was good. We liked it.
I just want to say right off the bat
nice that pour.
The image of a dog in heat is not an appetizing image to me.
No. Not really.
But that's just me.
So real quick, slightly less head than the Widmer. It's about a 2.5 finger head, not quite as meringue, a little more bubbly.
Meringue?
Meringue.
Ah, oh, meringue!
Everyone, meringue! I think he meant to say meringue.
But it's meringue.
He's holding up his Bubba Gump like Shrimp Company Weiss glass.
Golden yellow in color, slightly cloudy, just like you would expect from a Hefeweizen. The head actually on this one dissipates fairly quickly. Still kind of foamy. Not much sediment in this either. I mean, other than it being overall cloudy, there's not, you know, little particulates in it. So, time to do a little tasting.
You know, Flying Dog is one of those beers that I remember from back in the day. You know, college days, right out of high school, when we would go to the store and we'd find microbrews like Sam Adams and Pete's Wicked. And Flying Dog was one of those ones I always remember seeing on the shelf, especially the Old Scratch Amber.
Old Scratch.
So for the aroma, well, I'm getting definitely getting some wheat, a little bit of bubble gum in there.
Wheat.
Getting the wheat.
White wheat.
A little bit of bubble gum. Not much banana in the aroma.
Bubble gum.
Again, which, you know, I'm kind of looking for in the Hefeweizen.
I want to taste, but I don't get to do mine yet.
It's fairly carbonated, almost creamy in the flavor. I'm definitely getting the wheat. I am getting the banana in the flavor, which I'm liking.
That's good.
Not much hot bitterness. Pretty much the flavors you would expect from a style, but everything very subtle. Not as subtle as the Widmer. I'm definitely... definitely. God. I notice we say definitely a lot, yes. Or at least I do.
Definitely, you do, definitely.
Better than like literally when it doesn't necessarily apply.
Definitely.
I literally...
Is it retaining any lacing or head? How's that?
Now, the head's almost completely gone. There's a very thin film at the top. Not much lacing going down the side of the glass. About the same as the Widmer was. I do like this. I'm liking a little bit more of the stronger, traditional Hefeweizen flavors. The banana and the cloves coming through a little bit more.
Right.
And the... It's fairly carbonated, and it's holding the carbonation pretty well.
It's pretty full-bodied, you'd say? Full-bodied Hefeweizen?
I would say that, yeah.
Or more bodied than the Widmer.
More bodied. Maybe not full-bodied, but definitely got
more
some curves
bodied.
On it.
Is that the name? That's the name of this episode nice. Right here. More bodied.
The curves like the Weizen glass it's in.
Absolutely. So if I was going to...
Yeah, I think that...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, fine. I'll go. food pairing, if I was gonna pair this with anything, I'd do a grilled chicken with maybe like a grilled potato salad with some onions and maybe a mustard-style dressing. Yeah.
Would you put a lemon in it?
Potato salad would be really good. You know, honestly, if I was going to, this would be a good session beer because of the lack of strong character.
Mm-hmm.
I could see drinking a few of these, and maybe, you know, if I'm out on my front porch and relaxing on a Saturday afternoon and I've had a couple of these and I'm not really looking to review it, then I might put some lemon in it. For all you haters out there.
He just might.
The He-Man Lemon Haters
Club. Is
that
a threat?
Oh, man.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Here we go. My tasting flight today is UFO Hefeweizen by Harpoon Brewery. They are in Boston, but they also are out of Windsor, Vermont. They started the brewery in 1986. This style, like I said, was the Hefeweizen, but they also call it an American unfiltered wheat beer, which is most of the ones that we've been trying today. They're kind of classified under the American wheat beer, American unfiltered wheat beer. The ABV on this is 5.1 ABV. The ingredients or what they use for hops are Nugget and Cascade.
Nugget.
And they don't mention the type of malted barley that they use. They just say it comes from North America, pale malted barley, but they don't go into specifics, at least from what I found. I'm sure if I dug a little deeper, I'd be able to pull something up. But we found that lately with a lot of the beers we've been reviewing. There's been a handful of them that are kind of keep some stuff to themselves. So, and their tagline is partly cloudy, 38 degrees. They like to serve this beer really cold, and they actually have the Weiss glass on the label with the lemon in it, which I don't agree with, which we've talked about earlier. I'm going to rate beer. They rate it 22 out of 100. And Beer Advocate, the users rated a B-, and the Allstrom brothers chime in with a B. And I'm going to open it.
Excellent.
So.
Whoa.
Well, I was so non-aggressive with my pour before, and I was a little more aggressive this time. I wet my glass to retard the head a little bit. But
sounds like a personal problem. I don't
think that worked. So I'm going to kind of hang out a little bit.
Whoa. That's some head.
While my four fingers of head kind of chills out for a minute. I apologize for that.
Mike, maybe they put the lemon on the label to kind of for people that don't understand what a Hefeweizen is.
That's true.
And then they see the lemon and they go, "Oh, hey, it's one of those beers where you put a lemon in. I like those."
It could be more of a marketing thing. It's true.
Yeah.
Which this is definitely one of those beers that you would want to try to appeal to newcomers to craft beer.
Yeah.
Because this is a good introduction beer.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. As far as color, I'm going to say right off the bat, it's clear. It's not cloudy until you get to the bottom of the bottle and you get that last bit of yeast in there, and then you start to see some cloudiness, but not much. The head is pretty good. It does have that kind of meringue type look to it, which is common, or what to look for in a Hefeweizen. It's got kind of a big soapy head. Right? You can see, I don't know if you guys can see it, obviously the listeners can't, but I mean there's all kinds of stuff just kind of settling and floating around there, but at the bottom you could see right through it. So it's not as hazy. It
looks kind of like a lava lamp.
Yeah, exactly. It looks just like, if you could see it at home here, it's looks just like a lava lamp.
Trippy.
So unless you can get the whole bottle in one glass, I don't think you're going to get the full effect of this beer.
Right, you can always, you know, pour a
tinge of citrus and a little bit of light malt, but it's yeasty, malty, citrus. Again, maybe the slightest hint of banana, but I'm trying hard. I don't know if I can.
Are you just looking for it?
I think I am, and it's virtually non-existent.
Any cloves?
No. Cloves or banana. I decided to visit this beer at all. I'm gonna take.
Looks
a
like
drink.
It's retaining its head pretty well.
Yes, it still has a good two fingers ahead, but I'm going to take a sip.
So you don't get any of the lemon or the spiced clove?
I guess I get a little bit of like citrus on the first whiff, but it doesn't really even have a citrus character to the taste, actually. It's got a thin mouthfeel, and it's... It's I'm tasting all the, like the bready maltiness. It's very thin. The carbonation is considerably less than the Widmer. Maybe a tiny bit of hop character. But I mean, all in all, I mean, I'll be honest about this beer. There's not that much going on. It's very light. It's only cloudy when you get that last bit in. It doesn't really have what normally you're looking for in the Hefeweizens. It's
got some good lacing though, it looks like.
Yeah, I'll give it that. It definitely has some good lacing on the glass. If I were to pair this with anything, I'm gonna say like a fish and chips, you know, because I think with something like that, I wouldn't pair fish and chips with like a nicer, more balanced beer with say all those kind of traditional flavors in a Hefeweizen, but with this, I think fish and chips is a good pair.
That leads back into, you know, just a good summer, you know, kind of session type of beer. Yeah. You know, the Hefeweizens in general just tend to be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, I could drink several of these and have some fish and chips while I'm hanging out.
Yep.
God, that sounds good.
Well, that about wraps it up for me.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, so I'm doing the Marin Brewing Company's Hefeweiss. Marin Brewing Company is out of Larkspur, California, which is just north of San Francisco in none other than Marin County. This is an unfiltered American-style wheat ale, and it actually has won multiple awards at the Great American Beer Festival. It's won 2 gold and 2 bronze, and it has also won 1 gold and 1 bronze from the Best of the West beer festival. Anyways, I'm going to crack it.
Sweet.
Got my Weizen glass ready.
Weizen glass.
Whoa, big head.
So while you're pouring that, Toby, I'm just going to chime in for a second and give its ratings. Rate Beer gave it a 30 out of 100. And Beer Advocate gave it a C+, and the Alstrom Brothers haven't reviewed it yet.
It's not sounding too good so far.
I think you'll be the judge of that.
Well, first off, the head is going crazy. I mean, I barely poured any, and I've got almost a full glass of head. Huge, foamy meringue on top. I am getting a lot of the... I'm actually getting some good aroma here, some clove. Real citrusy. And
so, finally, we got some
yeasty
clove.
No bananas, but I am getting the clove in there.
Clove is good.
It smells yummy. But I'm still retaining lots of head, so I'm going to slowly add a little bit more to it. An interesting tidbit about Marin Brewing is the co-owner of Marin is actually Brendan Moylan, who, if you guys are familiar with Moylan's Brewing Company out of Novato, California, which is just up the road from Larkspur. Mm. So yeah, the owner of Moylan's is actually co-owner of Marin.
I did not know that.
So he's been brewing since 89 when Marin opened. Oh, see, now I'm starting to get some more dry bitterness coming through. Aromas. So I keep adding beer to this because I want to fill up my glass a little more, but it seems like I got half a glass of beer and half a glass of really foamy head. I'm diving in though. Okay, I don't care if I get my nose wet.
That's the spirit. Let us know what it tastes like.
Ooh, I don't know about this.
Is that good?
That's always bad. A good way to start the review.
I don't know about this.
Well, it's real thin, and it's really, it's not a whole lot of body to it. It's got a lot of citrusy, lemony notes to it, but it's real thin. You know what it actually reminds me of? And I don't really want to put it down that bad, but it reminds me of my Mr. Beer homebrew that I made earlier this year.
So,
as far as the flavor goes,
it could possibly be an insult to Marin Brewing or a compliment to you.
it could go either way.
Mr. Beer.
But yeah, not a whole lot of body to it. I'm almost metallic too. There's almost a metallic kind of finish to it,
which makes me wonder what kind of yeast that they use in some of these, because I've gotten some of that metallic as well, and I wonder if they use like lager style yeast.
It might be, you know, that might be it, because it does kind of have a bit of lagerness to it, if you will.
Lageriness.
The color, you know what it looks like, is it looks like lemonade. It's very, it's kind of cloudy, and it's very light yellow. It's got some pretty good carbonation, but yeah. This one's not, I'm not a huge fan of this. I mean, it's a little refreshing. As far as pairing it with something, I don't know, barbecuing some hot dogs.
There we go. I love how we put it with the those kind of foods. It's like,
it's a good backyard barbecue beer. I mean, if it's hot out, you know, or maybe you can call it some lawnmower beer, you know. Yeah. Cutting the grass, drinking a beer, doing some yard work. It's definitely cool and light and refreshing, but not a whole lot of body, not a whole lot of character.
A whole lot of nothing.
That's it for me. It's the Train of the Week. Train of the Week. It's the Train of the Week. Train of the Week, yeah.
This guy, 2007, says, I love eating animals and drinking beer. Thank you, vets. Happy Memorial Day.
Okay, welcome to our backwash segment, which is our listener feedback. We actually got somebody on iTunes actually gave us a pretty nice review. It said Craft Beer Curious was the guy, or girl, I guess. I like these guys. They aren't beer snobs or beer geeks, and they make beer sound really tasty. See, Mike? It's good.
Nice.
Some funny bits, too. The tweet of the week is hilarious. I'll listen again. So, thank you to Craft Beer Curious for leaving us that review on iTunes. That was
awesome.
The
great thing about that review is, in fact, when I first called Mike right after I had read this review, I asked him, I said, okay, so who wrote it? Because this review is like somebody was sitting in there when we started talking about this podcast. Everything that they say in there that they like about this podcast is exactly what we aimed for.
Yeah, so it's what we're going for. That's great.
Thank you, Craft Beer Curious.
So I'm going to go and talk about an email that we got from Jeremy from Colorado. He's emailed us a couple times at this point. The email says, perhaps you could announce what the fermentation conversation beer in the next episode will be, allowing those of us who would like to be a bit more participatory to have one in hand.
Participatory.
So,
can you say that again? Participatory?
Participatory.
I like that.
Taking that into account, we have
done so. Wait for me in the participatory.
We've added a little section on the front page of the website that is a next on beer coasters section that will list not only the fermentation conversation beer for the week, but the individual tasting flights as well. And we hope to have those out every Monday morning. We usually go out and figure out which beers we're going to be drinking over the weekend. So look for those on Monday mornings.
Yeah, that's cool, because then each week you could kind of hang out with us and drink some beer with us and see if you can smell those smells and taste those tastes and all that kind of good stuff.
And then write us some backwash saying that we were absolutely crazy that you tasted none of those things.
Yes, yes.
Or call us.
Yeah. Or call us.
Correct. Or call us, yes. I wanted to talk about an email that we got. Gina basically wrote The War and Peace of Backwash. We have a tremendous amount of input from her, and we totally appreciate it. She made some great points, some of which we introduced to this week's show, and we just wanted to say thank you very much, Gina. We love you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Gina actually has... She took a course on beer in college. And I'm not talking about community college. I'm talking about UNLV beer course.
We're talking about real college about real beer.
Insight.
Yes, and it shows in all the notes. It definitely shows. And I actually can't wait to have her on the show sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, as soon as she has that baby. Last call. Okay, this is winding down to the end of the show here at Last Call, and we've decided to actually hold off on our reviews, you know, our pint reviews of each beer that we did today till the end. That way, you know, it gives us a little chance to think about it and go over our notes and stuff like that, instead of, you know, feeling like we need to force it out right then and there. So, anyways, we're gonna.
Yes, because we have
Chris,
to say...
he'll start it off.
Go ahead, Chris, and I'll chime in after.
Alrighty. So this week's ratings, the fermentation conversation this week of Widmer Brothers Hefeweizen, I'm going to give a 3-pint rating to, because I do think it's a decent session beer, even if it is a little light on the notes. And for my tasting flight this week, the Flying Dog In Heat Wheat Hefeweizen, I'm giving a 3.5 pints to, just because it had a little bit more of the Hefeweizen character that I was looking for than the Widmer did. So that's what I think.
Well, on the Widmer, I'm going to give it 3 pints. Just because, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same exact way that you do about it, Chris. You know, the difference with me is on my individual review with the Harpoon, is it wasn't as good. It was much lighter in every aspect of aroma and taste and in appearance than the Windmere, which with the other guys, it was the opposite. Their ones were maybe a little bit better, but... I'm going to give it 2.5 pints for the Harpoon UFO Hefeweizen. Thank you.
As far as my ratings go, I gave Widmer, also I gave it 3 out of 5 pints. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was spectacular. And the Marin, I was very disappointed in the Marin. I gave it 2 out of 5. I mean, it was good.
You surprised me.
As far as, well, I mean, it's drinkable. You know, I'm a big fan of the drinkability. So I gave it 2 because, you know, you can have a glass of it outside in the heat, and you're not gonna hate it on a hot day. It is refreshing. It does have a lot of citrusy zest to it, but nothing really spectacular. So yeah, 2 out of 5.
Excellent.
Do we have any recommendations for, say, a better Hefeweizen
My experience with the American Hefeweizens, I mean, Pyramid is pretty popular. They do a decent Hefeweizen. But I would say if you're starting to like these or you're getting into these now, I would go for the German Hefeweizens, you know. Franzis Kanner to me is probably the staple as far as Hefeweizens go. That is, to me personally, the best, and that's what a Hefeweizen should taste like. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot more character, a lot more body, a lot more stuff going on than just the occasional clove and the occasional lemon here and there.
Yeah, I will say with it's been a long time since I've visited the Hefeweizens. I've fallen out of favor with them, and coming back to them, I definitely wanted something a little bit stronger, and I think I will search out some of those German ones and give them a try.
Yeah.
Definitely, dude.
One that people maybe not recognize as having decent Hefeweizens is there's some Canadian beers out there. I mean, Polliner makes some. And there still are good examples of American ones. You get some of those breweries like... there's a Sunrise Weiss from Victory Brewing Company, and also Penweisen here in the East Coast for Pennsylvania Brewing Company. Those are two of my picks.
Well, we'd like to thank everybody for checking us out this week. Tell a friend. Go to the website. There it is. Definitely. Go to the website.
Definitely.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com. Check us out. See what we're drinking next week. You can drink with us. And leave us some backwash. You know, we thrive on the listener backwash. So go to Chris. What's the email?
The email would be backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, beercoasterspod, and you can leave us an audio backwash at the phone number is 316-221-6846.
And I'm Beer Coaster Toby on Twitter.
If you want to email us individually, I'm Mike@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Toby@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And Chris@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Yeah. And remember, when you're drinking your Hefeweizen, try and drink it out of a Weizen glass. It definitely brings out the character more. It gives it that head that it needs. And also, don't be afraid of that sediment. I mean, sediment is good. It's where all the vitamins and minerals are in a beer. I love me some sediment.
Get your vitamins and minerals.
It's the best part of the beer.
Two more quick things.
It's good for you.
Subscribe in iTunes, search for Beer Coasters, and you can find us in the podcast section. And check the website on Monday for the next time on Beer Coasters, what we'll be reviewing next week.
Sweet.
And also, one last thing. Summertime is here. Check your local brewery. Usually local breweries, about this time of year, will start brewing up some Hefeweizen wheat ale type beers. So check them out. Ask for no fruit, but if you think halfway through the glass it needs an extra fruity kick, you know, have them throw in a slice of lemon or orange or whatever. Whatever suits you. You know?
Local is fresh, and fresh is better.
Thanks again for listening.
Yes.
Support craft beer and your local brewery.
Cheers.
Next week, right here on Beer Coasters.